Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever heard of a man cave?
Yeah.
My father-in-law has a man cave. I've known Sarah now for 12 years. That entire time, everywhere they have lived, he has had a man cave. If you don't know what one is, they come in many shapes and sizes. In my father-in-law's case, is a place that he can sequester himself that has his sports stuff and his Harley stuff and his dog. And he will sit and he will watch his sports, and he will scratch his dog, and he will have his Harley stuff all over the walls. A place to get away, if you will. I have never had a man cave, which is kind of sad. Until now! A couple weeks ago, I recently added one to the house. My cave is a little bit odd, though, because I share it. I share my cave with five girls. Five cute chicks, if you want the truth. And Sarah doesn't mind at all. Many of you have been here and have heard me talk about the chicken coop. For those of you who are now very confused, that's what I'm talking about. The chicken coop. I recently realized that for me, this silly little chicken coop is my version of a man cave. I stumbled across it completely by accident. Not the coop, I knew I was building that. But its use on my part, I stumbled across by accident. One day after mowing the lawn, I decided I was feeling a little tired and I wanted to sit down. And we had just recently moved the chickens into the coop, and I wanted to keep an eye on them. So I went to our carport, and I grabbed an old dining room chair that was sitting out there. And I pulled it out to the coop, and I went into the house, and I'll be honest, I grabbed myself a beer. And I went in the coop, and I sat down, and I kicked my feet up, and I watched the chickens. Oh my goodness. It was so cool. It was so remarkably relaxing. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love Sarah. I love the boys. I love our dog. I love this church. I love my life. I thoroughly do. I believe I always have. I'm 99.9% sure I always will. But I will be honest with you, sitting with those silly little chickens was different. Because those chickens did not want anything from me. They already had water. They already had feed. All they wanted to do was flap their arms and run around and squawk and cluck. Maybe look for a worm or an ant or something. They couldn't care less that I was in there. Now, usually if I go out in the backyard, I mentioned to you our dog. I love our dog dearly. Scout is a wonderful black lab. Scout is 4. And I was once told that the thing about black labs is that they stop being puppies when they die. And this is true. Because that dog, whenever she sees me, she brings her ball and she drops it at my feet and she kind of nuzzles it over to my foot. Inevitably, because I'm either not very smart or because I do love the dog, I will kick the ball or I will pick it up and throw the ball, and she will, of course, bring it back because she's a retriever and that's what retrievers do, and she won't quit. I mean, I've literally played with her for hours at a time. The first day we had her, the first week we had her, she got injured because I had assumed she would stop playing when she got tired, and I was wrong. She actually tore a muscle. And right after we got her, we had to like almost sedate her and keep her comfortable and still because the dog would not stop playing. And that's what she does every time I step outside, which, you know, isn't very relaxing in some ways. It can be. And the boys, I love the boys dearly, but if I'm outside with them, you know, they eventually need food or they need water or they want to show me what they've built or play with them or someone gets hurt or someone hurts the other one or there's always noise. which is good, don't get me wrong. I do absolutely love my family, and I'm not saying anything to the other degree. But as I sat there in the coop, just sitting there watching these chickens, we live right next to I-5. And even the noise of the cars, I couldn't have cared less. It was so peaceful. So that's become my man cave, so to speak. Sarah thinks it's borderline ridiculous, and she's probably correct, but it is not uncommon now that if you were to drive down the street, you will see me sitting on my chair with a cup of coffee or something in the coop, just watching the chickens. Obviously, when I have a moment of free time, not when I'm, you know, supposed to be working. Peace be with you, Jesus says today. He says it three times to his disciples. Peace be with you. It is the first thing that he says when he shows up in that upper room. The first thing he says, peace be with you. And then he says it to them again right before he breathes the Holy Spirit at them. Peace be with you. And then he leaves, and when he comes back, the first thing he says again is, peace be with you. Many of you have heard the Bible in your life once or twice, bits and pieces of it. Any of you know what the angels typically say when they show up? Do not be afraid. More often than not, in either the Old or New Testament, if you see the appearance of an angel, their first words are, do not be afraid. Which makes sense, because they're supposed to be these holy messengers from God that, you know, the average person is not expecting to see when they walk into the room. Do not be afraid. Jesus was dead. Now he's not. His disciples are not expecting to see him where they are. He doesn't say, do not be afraid. He starts off by saying, peace. Peace be with you. Those two things are not the same. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. The word peace in Greek, got into it a little bit with the kids in the children's message. It's not really about war and peace. The word peace in Greek is more about tranquility, security, safety, prosperity, and great happiness. Another definition is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ and so fearing nothing. I guess in a sense then, peace be with you means you have no reason to be afraid, so I don't even have to say, do not be afraid. There is nothing quite like those moments in life where you are able to stop and look at yourself and recognize and embrace this very simple truth. This very simple truth that we talk about in church all the time. God loves you. I know on some simple level each one of you is aware of that, but just hear those words again. God loves you. Each and every one of you. God loves you when you mess up, when you fail, when you fall short. God loves you when you make amends, when you try, when you come back. God loves each and every one of you. How much better can life truly get? How much more peaceful can life truly get? How much more content can life truly get than actually realizing that and holding on to that simple little truth? God loves you. Sarah has given me a hard time every once in a while. I always feel bad if I reference her in a sermon because I can see her right now. Like we're looking right at each other and she doesn't know what I'm going to say. And it's like, it's so rude. I should consult her before I do that. She's given me a hard time at times in the past when I've struggled with a sermon and what to do. She has a default sermon she thinks I should do. It's very simple. It's that I get up here and I say, God loves you. Go home. I actually think I should do that someday. It's a good message. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I do think there's a little bit more to it in life. I think what God wants for us, that tranquility, that happiness, that peace, that fulfillment, is found not just in the knowledge that God loves us, but the purpose that God has placed us here for. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. That's what he says today to the disciples. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just show up and say, peace be with you. Take care. And walk away. He doesn't just wish them well and disappear. God loves me. Guess I'm going to go back and sit in my chicken coop forever now. Something more to it than that. Something more meaningful is declared by Christ to the disciples, and by extension to us. I know some of you are not into the internet, and that is fine. But there's this thing called Twitter. And it's this website where people post little messages about what they're doing in life. And I recently became aware of this former child star from the early 90s or so, who apparently has quite a reputation for the things that he posts about his life. Because this kid is a multimillionaire. He retired at age 19. He has like $40 million. And the reason I was made aware of it was because everything that he posts about is how he's spending his time either hunting for scorpions in his backyard, because he lives in Arizona, because he doesn't like scorpions. So everything is about how he's either hunting for scorpions or eating pastries. Scorpion hunting and pastry eating. Now, don't get me wrong, it's got to be nice to have all that time on your hands. I can only imagine what it's like to have all that time on your hands. I am not retired at age 19. I don't have $40 million. I do have a wife, two kids, a dog, and five chickens, and a congregation. But I can't really believe that that is what we are intended for in life. I can't really believe that that is the epitome of what we're trying to accomplish, is to reach a point where we can just sit on our rear, well, maybe not just completely sit, but sit on our rear eating pastries and hunting for scorpions. I was thumbing through a couple of his little posts about this, and I just couldn't help but think to myself, and it's ironic that I thought this since I was wasting my time reading this. But as I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, what a waste. How pointless. I mean, I don't think you've heard a lot of judgment from me from the pulpit over the last couple of years, but I will flat out say that that's pathetic. There has to be more to life than just trying to get enough money to not have to do anything else ever again. And I know there's more to it than that, because Christ tells me as much. Peace be with you. Tranquility, contentment, happiness, joy be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Human beings are capable of more. They're intended for more than just trying to get to the point where we don't have to do anything ever again. God loves you, go home, is almost good enough. But it's more like God loves you. Peace be with you that God loves you. And God expects you to go out and spread that love and peace to others. Let us pray. Most gracious, loving, holy, and good God, you bless us in so many ways, ways that we cannot even count or imagine. Help us to be aware of your goodness, your peace, your joy. Help us to be signs of that in this world. Help us to seek out ways in which we may spread your joy and peace with others. We pray this knowing that you are all in all, and that all that we have comes from you. In your most holy, good, and gracious name, amen.